Blog Talk Radio.
We sing happy birthday to you.
Aww.
May all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Wearing her birthday suit.
Oh, yes, I am. I just got a couple of layers over it. That's all. Yay! Yay. Actually, I've got my self-rescuing princess t-shirt on today.
Your which one are you wearing?
Self-rescuing princess.
I like... Where are you getting these from? They're taking our ideas. I need to know who's stealing the ideas. Bad. She won't share. Do you hear that? She won't tell me.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm sorry, what'd you ask? I said, I need to know who you're getting these from that's stealing our ideas.
Oh, the self-rescuing princess? I got it from, I was just trying to think of the name, too. Think Geek! There we go.
Well, you Think Geek people, you have some nerve.
I know.
The unmitigated gall of the Think Geek people. Well, in case y'all didn't know, it's Ginger's birthday.
It is my birthday.
What is she doing for her birthday?
I don't know. I'll watch a movie, maybe download a book, have some pizza maybe. Because, you know, I gotta have some pizza on my birthday.
Oh?
Yeah.
If she lived nearby, we would take her to sing karaoke and force her to sing on stage wearing a crown that says it's my birthday.
Oh, my God. She would, too. I could totally see her doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Corey is so nuts. I love you, Corey.
Yeah, you love me because I'm far away and I'm not making you get up on stage.
This is very true. Very, very, very true.
You know the irony of today, not just being your birthday, but every news story we got has something to do with dancing in it. So something in the universe is happy that it's your birthday. It just wants to dance. Every story I have has to do with dancing. I've had Dance Central, Get Up and Dance. Dance this. I'm like, what is going on?
I know. And there's just so much news. And it's all. And I saw that dance scene. But then I also saw some not good news.
Oh, there's all kind of juiciness going on. Oh, stop it with the
twist. So much juicy. And some of you people, some of you developers out there, I don't know what y'all are thinking. Are y'all just wanting to be sued? Are you wanting to be smacked around?
J-Duke sending you lovely birthday wishes.
Thank you, J-Duke. I love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Say it with Microsoft once, Jay. He says he's jumping out of the cake. No, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am, and no, sir.
Oh, God, no. No. Just remember, you bake the cake before the person goes in.
No. That's nasty flesh barbecue cake. Ooh. That's nasty. Y'all are nasty.
Well, you don't want to bake the cake after the person goes in. Well,
that could be fun, too. Okay.
Depends on the person, I guess.
How fleshy are you, Jay? Can we eat off you for a few months? You don't have that zombie thing, do you? Yeah. So what you got newsworthy? Because there's a bunch of stuff. Good God, there's a bunch of stuff.
God, there is. There's so much stuff. All right, I'm going to start this one off with... Oh, my God, because it's Zelda and Corey loves Zelda. Game policy this morning. Zelda on iTunes, but not from Nintendo. Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, it's not from Nintendo. Nintendo did not put this game out. A Zelda iOS.
Are you serious? I had to do the sound effect.
A Zelda iOS game has made it onto iTunes. Nintendo has not succumbed to the madness of investors and analysts who think the company should put its marquee titles on Apple platforms. Nintendo has no idea, but they probably do now because it's all over the news, that a game called Ultimate iZelda Climb even exists. Ultimate iZelda Climb is available now on iTunes for 99 cents. It borrows the likeness of Wind Waker's Link, who hops from one random floating island to another. Yeah, the creator of the game also stole some fan art from deviant artist Kevin Keel to use as a loading screen.
Oh, not wait a minute. I think I know him. Did I date him? That name sounds very familiar.
Ultimate iZelda Climb is the latest in a series of games that steal from popular games. They are created by Scott Abbey's Audio Attack. Other games he's stolen from include World of Warcraft, Modern Warfare 3, and Hello Kitty. You are just asking to get just totally spanked. Yeah, the writer goes on to say, one has to wonder who at Apple isn't catching these games and letting them be sold on its virtual storefront. All right, Scott Abbey, are you stupid or you dropped on your head? Did you eat paint chips as a child?
Lead paint chips.
Lead paint. Seriously, Nintendo is not going to take this sitting down.
Nintendo has already drawn up papers and sending the ninjas as we speak. We already know this. You better hide, boy.
You were getting cut 9 ways to Sunday. It's not going to be good at all.
And if it is the Kevin Kell that I dated, the redhead, you getting cut even before mm-hmm. Nintendo gets it. Ooh. I wouldn't want to do that. You don't want to be doing that, mate.
Well, no,
okay. What happened? What?
Okay. I misunderstood what you said there for a second. But
I'm not sure if I dated this guy. I'm going to need a link so I can be sure.
Kevin Kell had his artwork stolen by the guy who's making these games.
Yes, but I need to see Kevin Kell's link. Do you have a link to him so I can see?
I don't.
That'll be interesting. I've been wondering where he was. Okay, so anyway, y'all know I have a penchant for artists. Speaking of people doing stupid and idiotic things, EA, again, really? They're saying sports games are leading the industry online. Over at DI.biz this morning, EA Sports Executive President Andrew Wilson believes that the label's games are leading the industry in persistent online experiences. They did an interview with DI.biz where he explained that an initiative like EA Sports Football Club, which launched with FIFA 12, puts the franchise ahead of the competition in terms of player engagement. A key feature of Football Club is its use of real football matches as the basis for impromptu challenges that can then be reenacted by players affiliated with the participating clubs. The results then feed back to an aggregate league table. He says the game you buy today is going to be very different to the game you buy 6 months from now based on what's happened in the real world, also based on challenges we provide, based on who you play with and who your club is. He said that certainly has added to the feeling that sports games are really innovative, and that's really what drives the year-round purchases. Right now, I think sports is a leader in the industry in terms of delivering a live service that actually changes day-to-day play. Although Football Club has only just launched, William believes the experience supersedes other online games due to the intense relationship sports fans already have with their teams. He said the relationship they have with their club and the relationship they share with other fans of that club are some of the strongest relationships in their lives. And they'll get together and knit and bake cookies. And he said to reenact the reality through interactive entertainment.
Knit
drives.
And bake cookies?
I threw that in there.
Knit and bake them.
Knit and bake
cookies. So you're going to knit
the cookies
together? Okay.
Yes, because that's what they would do. They would know not to. Yeah. Okay, so
interesting.
It's EA. To reenact the reality through interactive entertainment drives a level of engagement that other games genres can't deliver. And this is where foot went into mouth. First-person shooters are great games. They're great escapes. But the longevity behind the relationship with your team and other fans is exponentially stronger. Most of us haven't been in Afghanistan with an M16. We want to relate to that. But for me personally, the relationships to sports is much longer.
I'm all muted. I'm all like, huh.
He's also saying that he believes that the Football Club could surpass the first-person shooters genre that currently dominate. You know what, Andrew? First of all, you all bought up the franchise, so no one else can compete with you. So to say that you're the best when you are the only one there, I mean, on one hand, that's great self-confidence. On the other hand, shut the hell up. Really? Two, how are you going to compare football to first-person shooter? I'm not seeing the connection.
I don't know. No, I'm trying. I really am, but no.
I don't know what she's smoking over there, Andrew, but share or something because it's good. Why would you make such a connection and why would you even attempt to compare two genres that do not interact at all? I mean, I like your little football club idea, and it would really be great if you had somebody else to compete with to see how well it would do.
Yeah.
But you have nobody else to compete with. Who cares? Who really cares?
And I'm sorry, I had to come back to you. And please, people, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. I do not understand these sports games that are brought into our video games. I don't. I try about as close as it comes to me enjoying any kind of sports in video games is stuff like Wii Game or stuff like that. Not,
you know, the game that you probably need to play you'll like, because I'm not a fan. Obviously, I'm not a fan of Madden anymore. Glitch, I'm still talking about it, yes. Is Blitz the League, because it has a story. It's a,
all right, I can see that. If it had a story, I could see that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's I don't get the whole fantasy football, and I don't understand it even more when it's added to our video games.
I'm not getting that some you know what this genre is? This genre really, and some of you out there will be upset, but I don't see a whole lot of guys that are actually super hardcore gamers that like sports games, ironically. I see a lot of guys that missed the boat. You know, they didn't get to play football in high school. They didn't get to play college. And then they love playing Madden because it allows them to relive that fantasy in some weird way. And the other weirdness of it is one game I did love Madden on the Wii because of the actual physical movement I had to do. If I wanted to tackle somebody, I had to actually do it. I had to get up and, you know, push my arms out and move like I was pushing them or tackling them. And the sports people didn't like that. They hated
no.
it. Well, that's stupid. Why would I want to really tackle? Or when I threw a pass, I had to actually throw it, you know, with the Wiimote. And it had to be lined up properly. And, oh, it's too hard. Well, this
it's
is...
sports game. Do you...
You're supposed to get up and move.
Yeah.
I am not understanding where this connection to first-person shooters. I'm not understanding the we're better than the first-person shooters. Andrew, bad idea. You have Battlefield coming out. You may not be in that division, but what is not Battlefield? Whatever. Something's coming out. I just saw this morning they sent over from the UK office again. But you have something else coming out in from your company from a different division, and you may have just lampooned them in some way. There's bound to be a little bit of backlash from this. I'm just saying, or I'd be mad if I was a hardcore sports enthusiast and I had to have all the Maddens and play all the games and go to football games and season ticket holder.
Yeah.
I'd be, and I was a hardcore first-person shooter type, I'd be mad.
I would, yeah.
But like, what do you mean?
See, you should not throw out the gauntlets to gamers like this. You're going to irritate a whole lot of people all at once, and it's not going to go down very well.
Yeah, and if y'all go under, I can't play any more Sims, and we're going to have a problem.
Corey does love her Sims.
I do. I will not lie. Next week, y'all don't talk to me.
All right, well, Friday night's coming up, but until then, it's my birthday, so we're going to go ahead and do this today. Have a blast bartending in Bar Star VIP edition.
No.
For the Apple iPhone and Apple iPod Touch.
Nope.
Yes. In collaboration with OpenFaint, free game of the day. Developer GlitchSoft are serving free virtual drinks in Barstar VIP Edition on October 13th, my birthday, yay, to the lucky owners of an Apple iPhone or Apple iPod Touch. So I'm not going to be playing this. Similar in style to games like Diner Dash and Sally's Spa, Barstar VIP.
Yeah, they say that's similar. It better be good. You can't do that. Don't throw that out there if it ain't real.
Barstar VIP Edition has raised the bar when it comes to time management games. In this highly entertaining title, you play as a dynamic brother and sister duo, Artie and Chase, and your ultimate objective is to help them transform their rundown establishment into an upscale lounge. Earn valuable points as you mix, serve, and upgrade your way through 35-plus exciting levels. Use your points to hire new staff, including bouncers and DJs, and improve areas of your bar, including drink selection, the dance floor, and decor. Up to 16 different customer types, plus 4 celebrity guests, will visit your bar, and you better be sure to impress them to earn the maximum amounts of points.
So it's free? It's free?
It is free. Yeah. Barstar VIP Edition has already achieved popularity among players. Previous accolades include, but are not limited to, Top Paid App in Asia, Top Paid Game in Canada, Top 25 Strategy Game in the U.S., and Top 100 Action Game in USA, Japan, Russia, and Asia. All right, so like I said, it's free, and it's available for download now on the App Store. So go over there and get it.
I might be impressed, just a little bit.
Yes, but it looks like it's free game of the day, so you better get it today.
Yeah,
so
they'll try
it tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll try to get you.
Yeah.
Well, Google engineer.
Yeah.
Google engineer is saying Google Plus a knee-jerk He's calling it a knee-jerk reaction. Stop it, guys. A staff software engineer at Google has published a critique branding the Google Plus platform a knee-jerk reaction that has misinterpreted the reasons for Facebook's success. In a long and wide-range post on his Google Plus account, Steve Yeag argued that the Google Plus demonstrates the company's endemic failure to understand the value of building a platform rather than a product. Dude, you're looking for a new job today, right? Google Plus, he said, is a prime example of our complete failure to understand platforms from the very highest levels of executive leadership down to the very lowest leaf of workers, Yeag wrote. We all don't get it. Yeag, who only made the post accessible to those outside the company by accident, called the Google Plus platform a pathetic afterthought. Oh, you are so fired. Citing the absence of an API at launch and the quality of those now available to external developers compared to our internal APIs, it's all snouts and horse hooves, he said. Google Plus is a knee-jerk reaction, a study in short-term thinking predicated on the incorrect notion that Facebook is successful because they built a great product. But that's not why they're successful, Yeag continued. Facebook is successful because they built an entire constellation of products by allowing other people to do the work. So Facebook is different for everyone. Some people have spent all their time on Mafia Wars. Some spend all their time on Farmville. Our Google Plus team took a look at the aftermarket and said, gosh, it looks like we need some games. Let's go contract someone to write some games for us. Do you begin to see how incredibly wrong that thinking is now? The problem is that we're trying to predict what people want and deliver it to them. That's usually what making product is. I'm sorry. That's not how it worked. Anyway, Yeag our Google Plus team took a look at the aftermarket and said, gosh, it looks like, nope, I already read that. I'm crazy. Yeag concludes by stressing the difficulty of making Google Plus more open after the fact, claiming it will be 10 times as much work as just doing it correctly up front. Ask anyone who worked on platforming MS Office or anyone who worked on platforming Amazon. I'm not saying it's too late for us, but the longer we wait, the closer we'll get to being too late. The post begins with high praise for Google's internal culture, particularly when compared to Yeag's unflattering portrait of Amazon, his previous employer. However, despite his negativity towards the strategy behind Google Plus, Google has allowed the post to remain publicly available and told Yeag, you better be looking for a job. No, I'm kidding. I added that last part on.
Better be looking for a job.
I am. Everybody's all impressed that Google let it stay up. I don't know if they did this on purpose, or he really did put this up. But I'm telling you, it's great that he had all these things to say, but it really shouldn't have been made public. Especially if they did it on purpose. Because it still sounds negative. And it doesn't inspire trust from the people you have gotten to come on board. You know, Digital Chocolate with Zombie Lane, and it just sounds bad. So
it does.
Yeah. Google, they should have probably made him pull it down. I'm just gonna say. Because I know if I had was developing a game for Google Plus, I'd be very nervous right now. I'd be like, "We're leaving from the Google Plus platform. Thank you."
I like Google Plus.
I do. I love it. I love the way it's set up. It's how it's easy to add people to your things. It's a drag and drop. It's very intuitive. So I don't know what he's talking about. I thought they were doing a good job. I thought we were still in beta, so we were waiting for features. We didn't know anything about any of this stuff. I'm like, we're in beta. We're waiting.
The first day I logged in, I was like, this is so bare.
Yeah, of course it's bare. There's nobody
so
bare yet.
Clean. I was like, where's the clutter.
Just because we got used to the clutter, but I like that it's clean now. And when you post things or when we share things on Google Plus, it's nice and straight to the point. Bam. Mm-hmm.
It is. It was a little disconcerting. I mean, MySpace was just one big
mess.
I can't say that word on air. It was just one big mess.
A hot mess.
Hot mess. There we go. Facebook, a little bit better, but it was still, and especially recently, I've been like, what did you do, Facebook? Where is everything? Oh.
And when we see the screenshots of what they're going to do, no.
No. No, 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 no. Now we're going back to MySpace? No. No, no. So, yeah, Google Plus can expect me a lot more.
I love my Google Plus.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like this. I love me talking about some, government and games mixing. It's so great.
Oh, by the way, Jay wanted you all to know that he is a birthday beefcake. I'm just...
Yes, he is some hot beefcake. I'm watching. soccer, IJ. Okay.
Ooh, I'm not involved.
U.S. Army uses strategy game to teach cultural awareness. The United States Army is testing a new PC strategy game that teaches captains who are being deployed to Afghanistan how to think like local villager, like local village elders do. The game is called Culture Shock Afghanistan and is being tested at the U.S. Army Engineer School via the Captain's Career Course at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. The purpose of the game, according to its creators, is to teach cultural awareness and to show officers what drives the decision-making process of local leaders whom U.S. forces will have to encounter and communicate with. The game was developed by IDS International of Arlington, Virginia. The whole point of the game is perspective, putting players in situations where they get to see the point of view of a village leader. Yes, people, I know it's my birthday. Stop digging. The game starts with the player taking on the role of village elder after the previous leader has passed away. Control of the fictional village is passed down to a son. Tom V, a research associate at IDS, talked about the game a bit at the recent Association of the United States Army annual conference. You enter the game having no influence at all, and you have to build that influence, they said.
Simulator.
Mm-hmm. Players log in each day and play the game for 5 to 15 minutes and make decisions based on events that occur in the daily life of the Afghan village. Most are mundane in nature, such as crop and labor issues, while others deal with serious threats to survival, like Taliban spring offensives.
Taliban spring offenses? What is
offensive?
A spring offense?
Yeah, I cannot talk.
Oh, that's you? I thought that's what they wrote, because you know we do get them crazy.
We
like,
do. No, that was me. That was me. Taliban spring offensives.
Oh, okay.
And corruption. Each daily play session represents a week in the life of a village. According to IDS International, the game is the game is bound by the real-world physical, political, and cultural restrictions of southern Afghanistan. IDS is working closely with Afghan Americans to ensure realism, according to they. The game also features a reference guide called Afghanpedia that lets them search for cultural information. At the end of the 8-week class, instructors gather data to see how the students' analytical and cultural understanding has improved. That's actually kind of neat. I love seeing video games solving real-world problems, you know?
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
This just is in just, case y'all didn't know. It's what it's supposed to be.
Yes, this is awesome. See, video games doing good. I love it. I love it. I love it.
We are supposed to do good and wonderful and powerful things, just so y'all know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, in case you were wondering.
Uh-oh, this does not sound good.
First, I have to find it because I posted a whole bunch of news. Now we got a bunch of new news. But I had to let you guys know that the MIB is back, in case you didn't see our post on Facebook. Well, Activision, who's developing the game in partnership with Columbia Pictures, today announced an all-new Men in Black video game, launching as a standalone title to coincide with the global theatrical release of Men in Black 3 in spring of 2012. I like that it's a standalone. Thank you very much for not trying to redo the movie. True to the spirit of the franchise, the original title will feature action-packed yet lighthearted gameplay mixed with an edge-of-your-seat shooting excitement from the universe's most elite peacekeeping force. The Men in Black franchise is an unbeatable starting point to deliver a genre-bending game experience with a level of production value on par with Hollywood, said David Oxford, who is the current executive vice president of Activision Publishing. You know, if this game don't go over well. Mark Kaplan, who's the vice president of licensing at Sony Pictures Entertainment, stated, with Activision bringing the Men in Black universe to life on next-gen consoles for the first time, the Men in Black video game will be both familiar to fans, an exciting beginning for the uninitiated, and revolutionary for the franchise. The film's unique blend of action, humor, and eye-popping special effects will fuel the Men in Black's gameplay experience. Utilizing the rich mythology of the Men in Black universe, the game's original story will build on the history of the series to bring back familiar faces while also introducing new foes. More details on gameplay and features will be released soon, but I do have a kind of a general time date. The Men in Black video game is planned to launch spring of 2012 for consoles and handhelds. The rating is still pending by the ESRB, and you can check it out check out the screenshots on our site or at Activision.com if you prefer. They look kind of nice, actually.
Kind of nice?
Yeah.
All right, kind of cool.
I like the I like the art. I like the way it looks. They didn't go for the whole 3D realism. It kind of looks a little bit of the 3D realism and a little bit of the cartoon. And I used to love the cartoon, the style of the artwork for the cartoon. So that's kind of what you got a mix of going on. So the screenshot looks nice, but we don't have any trailers. I did go hunting. Activision's been very careful to hide such things from me.
Yes.
Notice how I sighed all in frustration. They hid them from me. But
it is crazy. I've got Facebook dinging people all over the place.
I hear them there.
Keep closing things out. Twitter, I love y'all people. Y'all are dinging in my ear.
So Ginger's going, stop.
Yes, yes. And my voice sounds like that today. I'm going to lose my voice. Not on my birthday, people.
No, you won't. You're going to keep it all the way until about 12:01.
Yay! Then I can lose it tomorrow. That's great.
Yes, that's work.
Wait, no, we still got a show tomorrow, so we can't do that either.
We have a show tonight, actually.
Yeah, tonight too. But tomorrow as well. So it's got to wait until Saturday because, you know, I have family that's threatening to come in for the weekend. So I'll just lose it then and say, hey, I have strep throat. Y'all can't come.
Did she say threatening to come in? Because, see, that doesn't sound good either.
I'm like, no, what? No.
Oh, you right. Want them to come. You do. Enjoy. Ginger.
You can see my face. All right.
I know what your face was. That's why it's a Ginger.
Pocket God episode 41 takes players under the sea with new Ice Sting the Body Electric update.
That'll be up on our site shortly.
Yes, I love me some Pocket God.
I have a trailer. Yes, I do.
Gamers may want to start stockpiling vinegar as Pocket God announced today its newest jellyfish-filled content update for episode 41. Ice Sting the Body Electric is now available for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch users. As
I
part of this
trailer is hilarious, I'm telling you. It is on our channel already.
You're like dying. As part of this update, Pocket God also announces that episode 41 now supports the latest features of iOS 5, including asynchronous storage. But is it on the Android? I don't know.
Pocket
they need to bring it to the Android if it's not. Yeah.
That's a good question. I got no clue.
Yeah. The update introduces a beautiful new coral reef location on the ocean floor. Of course, it just so happens to also be infested with dead jellyfish.
Oh.
Feed your pygmies to the electrified jellyfish or make... Yeah, Corey, I love you. I'm going to feed jellyfish fodder.
Come on now. I had a shark on my head last time I checked.
Feed your pygmies to the electrified jellyfish or make a circle out of them to trap your pygmies in a fence of wet, squishy death. An underwater world skin pack is also available through in-app purchase, which lets players change the Pocket God's island iconic volcano into a whale, as well as change the island's boulder into a giant pufferfish. Episode 41 capitalizes on the following iOS 5 features and synchronous turn-based gaming, iCloud storage, The Pocket God Episode 41 app with Ice Sting the Body Electric update is available for 99 cents from the App Store on iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch, or at itunes.com/App Store. Yay! I love me some Pocket God. People, if you have not played this, you're missing a hilarious game. If you just have just a couple of minutes just to waste, you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're sitting in traffic, not moving, whatever, Pocket God is hilarious. Hilarious. Oh, my God. To the point of putting you in tears.
She just likes putting sharks in my head. That's what that is.
I do. Yeah, it's great. I kill Corey all the time.
And it took me a while to figure out how to put sharks on her head. So then I started throwing them on everybody. So that was fun.
That's fine. I fed you some kind of weird cactus thing that made you blow up the other day.
Oh, how come I didn't get an alert? Because usually it tells me Ginger has blah, blah, blah. I was like, damn it.
It was fun. I like dropped it next to you and you all picked it up. And you're like, oh, hey, look. And then you stuffed it in your mouth and then... Next thing I know, your belly just, like, blows up and you go, poof.
That's about right. It must have been shaped like a brownie. That was it. In which case, yes, I did pick it up and I ate it. It was tasty. Okay. Yes. Yes, you need brownies for your birthday. I'm just saying. So, apparently, a regular mafia isn't enough. We need a cloud mafia. And these cloud mafia, what do they do? I don't know. Maybe they get together and eat cannolis and the cloud. I don't know, but they're meeting up in San Francisco next Wednesday. Apparently, Cloud Mafia is a community of companies and individuals who live and breathe cloud. The group's primary objective is to build a solid community of startup leaders and developers who do business in the cloud. Yes, I have to say it that way. The next Cloud Mafia meeting is free to attend. It takes place Wednesday, October the 19th, next week. Yes, next week at 6 p.m. at Manor West in San Francisco. The meetup group is open to anyone from developers to CEOs and sales and marketing teams, and it's designed for participants to meet peers, build networks, share ideas, learn about the cloud, and help others learn. I'm going to keep that comment to myself. Wow, bad, Corey. This group presents a great opportunity to network, build relationships, and help build a brand for companies involved. There'll also be lightning talks and guest speakers, including customers with real-world stories, industry luminaries, VCs, and more. At heart, this is an informal social gathering of like-minded cloud enthusiasts out to change the world via the cloud. The cloud is quickly taking over the world. quickly taking over the world in this community is the heart of it. So they've had amazing conversations, networking, hiring, and partnerships stemming from their very first event. Also, Cloud Mafia was created by Loggly, New Relic, and DotCloud. The upcoming event is being sponsored by MongoDB, AppDirect, and Taos? Is it Taos? As well as Cloud Times. The last meetup, they're saying, brought together around 300 people from companies like CloudTest, EngineYard, CA Technologies, Google even showed up, Heroku, Salesforce showed up. That's a pretty big one. Trying to see who else was here. Ooh, Cloud Times, Blazing Cloud, Eucalyptus Systems, AppDirect, just tons of people. You can, of course, go over and find them on Facebook and RSVP, or if you join them on Facebook, that's your RSVP. So nice, I guess, if you're out in San Francisco and want to drop by. Just be careful. Don't inhale too much cloud. I'm bad. Ginger, are you alive over there?
Oh, my God. I'm all commenting, and I'm laughing, and da-da-da-da-da, and then you're like, are you alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was totally about to pick on you about some Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yes. Anniversary.
Yeah, she's not impressed.
I want four. I mean, five.
All right. For the rest of you that might be impressed, announcing Grand Theft Auto 3 10th Anniversary Edition for select mobile devices and the limited edition Claude action figure. 10 years ago this month, the revolutionary open-world epic Grand Theft Auto 3 was released to the world, a game that sets players loose as a small-time criminal at the bottom of the food chain in Liberty City, a sprawling metropolis where anything can happen and probably will. To commemorate the game's 10th anniversary, we're proud to announce that Grand Theft Auto 3 will be coming to select new generation iOS and Android devices later this fall.
I am happy.
No, I can tell you're not. For the lineup of supported devices, we've got the list below, which is Apple iOS devices, iPad 2, iPhone 4S, Android phones, Droid X2, HTC Evo 2, LG Optimus 2X, Motorola Atrix, Samsung Galaxy S2, Android tablets, the Acer Iconia, Asus E-Pad, Motorola Zoom, Samsung Galaxy, oh my God, why can't I say Galaxy? Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1. They also say we're pleased to announce that beginning today, a limited edition action figure of lead character Claude, created by renowned collectible manufacturer Slideshow, will be available for pre-order in limited quantities at the Rockstar Warehouse. Yay!
You can't scare us. No.
Yeah. And there's also the action figure of Claude. Fully articulated 1-6 scale action figure of Claude comes dressed in his original attire of cargo pants and a bomber jacket. He can also sport his iconic Liberty City prison issue jumpsuit, supplied, and comes equipped with an arsenal of classic weapons from Grand Theft Auto 3, including a bat, a knife, grenades, pistol, sniper rifle, and assault rifle.
Boo.
Yeah, and are you ready for the price? MSRP of $149.99.
I'm done talking today. Not only do you not give me a GTA 5, you charge me double the price of getting all the GTAs together if I wanted to get them on Steam.
Just I know, saying. Right?
What's wrong with these people? Rockstar, come on.
Drops on their head. They ate lead paint chips.
Apparently so. Crazy people.
Wait a minute. Outside of Walmart bag around their head as a kid.
They're going to put us in their game and we're going to be hookers getting beat up over and over. See, that's what's happening. All right. So,
you know what? I'll be like, yeah, that's me. I'm famous. I'm e-famous, baby.
The Gingers and the Corys, and we'll be the low-end hookers. You guys remember the game? They have the high-end hookers and the low-end hookers. We'll be the ones working down by the docks, not in the nice neighborhood.
We'll be the ones who shank you and take your wallet.
Actually, I had one that tried to shoot me. You're going to try to take my money? I was like,
Uh-oh.
I got to run over you. I'm sorry. It was an accident. Anyway, you lovely people. Ooh.
Lovely people.
All right. So, lovely. They're still sending emails. I don't care if we did start late today. 11 o'clock is your cutoff. Okay. So, Rift and Minecraft are apparently the big winners at GDC Online. Yes, going on right now down in Austin, Texas. Tryon Worlds Rift and Mojang's Minecraft won 2 awards each at GDC Online in Austin, Texas. Whoop, whoop. At the 2nd Annual Game Developers Choice Online Awards, Rift won Best Online Technology and was named Best New Online Game. Minecraft won Best Community Relations and Best Live Game. Sony Online Entertainment's EverQuest, which has been running continuously for 12 years, was officially inducted into the Hall of Fame today. Simon Carlos is saying that they're so happy to be back again, honoring the world's best online games. Once again, this year's award winners represent a massive range of genres and studios, from social network titles through core MMOs, and they'd like to congratulate all the nominees and winners on their sterling work. And let me see how long this list is, and I might, well, it's not too bad. I'll share it with you. Okay, so the Best Online Visual Arts, DC Universe Online, Best Social Network Game, Gardens of Time, Playdom. I didn't see that one coming. Best Online Game Design, Spiral Knights. Online Innovation, Shadow Cities. Best Online Technology, of course, Rift. Best Community Relations, of course, Minecraft. Best Audio for an Online Game, Clone Wars Adventures. Best New Game Online, Rift. Best Live Game, Minecraft. Audience Award, and they deserve a whole lot more than that, Wizard 101. Online Game Legend is John Taylor and Kelton Flynn, creators of the Island of Kismai. And, of course, Hall of Fame, EverQuest. Very nice.
Yay, EverQuest. Oh, I was very tempted to download that last night.
Well, I'm not liking this guy that is a freelance software. That's why you're freelance, you don't work for a company. He said, well, the best of MMOs is easy since they didn't have any real competition there. Honey, that's why you don't have a job. Anyway.
Wow. Really? Did he go there?
He really went there.
What was he thinking?
He's opening his mouth on a developer site where people can clearly see your name and your face.
Wow. Yep. Some people's children, you know?
This is where we get this news from a lot of people. I hear hire from there. So, and he's in Romania. Oh, what is it about Romanian men? There's the worst attitudes.
I don't know. And I just lost my story I had open.
They have the worst attitudes. We once had a guy come in to network my home office here. And he was Romanian, and he was just awful. He wanted beer. We had it in the refrigerator. And then he left our stuff undone, and we called him and told him we were not paying them. As a matter of fact, he owed us money for the beer that he drank.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is not – oh, my God.
He's not
drank
the only
your beer, did not finish networking, and then had the gall to charge you for it.
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. Why didn't Corey do it herself? Well, it was in the beginning days of my trying to get comfortable with what networking was.
Yes, we're not all, you know, we're not all born geeks. Some of us come into it a little bit later.
Yes, I wasn't quite comfortable yet. I didn't know what it was. But after that day, yeah, that's when I learned. I said, this is not happening again. Nobody's coming in here to network anything. I can do this myself.
I don't think I built my first computer until 2004 or 5. So.
But I bet you could put one together in your sleep now.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll have a beat.
That's right.
Yep. I got it all nice and stuff. I mean, usually, I don't have them networked right now, but I used to. I had them networked, so it was nice. I had consoles, everything. It was all great. I could pull up what I had on my computer from my Xbox, the two computers. I could just switch back and forth. It was beautiful.
Amen and hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't do.
Printer.
I got all that running now. The only thing I don't do is my wiring because I'm really bad at it. I don't want to touch too much stuff, so I usually take it to some guys local here who are now mobile. They no longer have a regular office.
So you shock the crap out of everything.
I shock, and they do a good job. They wire it, so if you look in my PC, well, I took them down now, but before I took everything apart, you couldn't even see the wirings, how good they were. They just strap it in somewhere. You could just see the board, so when you go in there to clean it, it's, you know, blow it out, and it's done.
I think next time that I do that, I'll get all the stuff together and put it together and then have somebody else wire it, because I can't ever do that. I try. I do, but it's a big jumbled mess.
It's an art.
I keep the fans clear, and that's about it.
Speaking of which, I need some Swiffers for my fans today.
Mm-hmm.
Swiffers are good for fans, just so y'all know.
All right. Well, apparently Tryon is celebrating my birthday this weekend.
Of course they are. It's Cinder's birthday everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Tryon announces a free Rift weekend and account upgrade. Oh, yeah.
A free Rift weekend?
Uh-huh.
You're going in, aren't you?
Oh, you know it.
Not going to find you this weekend, are we?
No, you know, I'll still have, like, 3 games logged in, but hey. Beginning today, new and returning players of Tryon's World MMORPG Rift can experience 5 major updates worth of content, including the massive new Ashes of History patch for free this entire weekend, because, you know, it's my birthday. All right, so no, that's not really why, but that's what I'm going to say it is. All right, so over the past 6 months, the Rift development team has maintained an unprecedented post-launch content schedule, introducing 3 epic raids, a PvP warfront, duo dungeon content, countless updates and improvements, and much more. The free gameplay lasts from 5:30 p.m. BST on Thursday, October 13th, through 5 o'clock p.m. BST Monday, October 17th. Players can get reacquainted with Rift in style with a new Ashes of History upgrade and Collector's Edition available for, is this only for Europe? Really? all right. £5 Linden Dollars cookies, little L sign, little C sign, and $24.99 little Linden C sign, whatever, respectively. I'm totally lost interest now. After applying the upgrade, subscribers will be able to summon money bags, a personal banker, ride Spindrel, a terrifying spider mount, because 8 legs are better than 4. Oh, no. See, I wouldn't have gone in just because of that. Nope, I'm done. And show off faction pride with a new tabard. The Ashes of History's Collector's Edition includes new items, plus the Rift client, and one month of game time. I don't like y'all, Rift. A, you only do this in Europe. Why do you Eurofruit people?
Did you say Eurofruit? I'm done.
Eurofruits. Why do y'all get all the cool stuff?
See, you were messing.
Well, I was going to say another F word, but I'll take a stay time.
Yes, but you know what? Weren't you busting at me the other day about my comments about the Cornwall people? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know anybody from there, so. Hey,
yes, you do.
Yes,
you do. Yes, you do.
All right, well, they don't know where I'm at.
I'll share it. They're not going to get me. I'm going to let them get you.
No, I'll offer them biscuits and sweet tea. They'll love me.
Biscuits mean something different over there. You know that.
All right, I'll offer you our fluffy biscuit thingies that we eat.
And they don't know what that is.
We'll put some cactus jelly on it.
Ew, stop. That's nasty. Okay.
Good woman. So good.
Angry Birds maker Rovio, who apparently have sold their souls to the devil to keep this game going. I don't know. But they said they're on track for 2012 IPO. They're on track to file for an initial public offering that would value the company at more than $1 billion. Later next year, the company's chief marketing officer, Peter Vestrobakke, shared this little bit with us. Vestrobakke told Bloomberg in an interview that the company is not ready to file for an IPO, but would likely be ready later next year. Rovio has turned its popular game into a complete franchise where merchandising, like selling stuffed Angry Birds, makes up anywhere between 10 and 20% of the company's revenue, he said. Rovio is in the process of raising funding that would value it at more than $1 billion, according to earlier reports. But Rovio executives typically make off-the-cuff comments like this, so it's hard to gauge whether or not to take Vestrobakke's comments seriously. The company's head of global branding, brand advertising, Wegemans, good God, y'all need to get a new one. indicated to VentureBeat at the GameSpeak conference in San Francisco earlier this year that Rovio was in the process of raising money. Angry Birds is a popular game on mobile devices in which players fling birds at structures to destroy pigs. Yes, that's essentially it. and it's so addictive. It started on smartphones like the iPhone and on tablets like the iPad. It has since expanded to a large number of other platforms like web browsers, TV boxes, Facebook somewhere, and are powered by operating systems like Android as well, because I have it on my phone. I know. I couldn't help it. Now, the company finished raising its last round of money, $42 million, in March this year. Rovio has been expanding through 2010 and 2011 and currently has 50 employees over in Finland. That's a lot of money for them to split. Wow. Jen, did we lose you again?
No and yes. My allergies. Rovio, where art thou, Rovio?
Apparently making lots of money.
Yes, and with Angry Birds.
With one game.
One game. One game that I hate.
I know.
It's everywhere. It was all over the mall. It was in Hot Topic, which I refused to go in. It was just... It was everywhere. It was in my game store. It was in Walmart. It was in Kmart. I was like, no. All right.
Wait. Oh, you know what? I'm going to save this for later.
Okay. All right.
Oh, we already went over into streaming anyway.
Oh, my bad. All right. So this guy, I don't have to think about this. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. They pulled it from Gulf News. Philippines president insulted by questions about playing video games. There's an interesting story in several Filipino newspapers involving the president of the Philippines, Angry Birds, and the PSP this week. According to several Filipino newspapers, the president is being grilled about his gaming habits, which he vehemently denies. Vehemently?
Vehemently.
Vehemently?
Yeah, there you
go. Denies. In fact, President Aquino finds the whole line of questioning insulting. President Aquino told the press at the event yesterday that he felt insulted when asked to comment on rumors that he was playing video games at the height of a hostage crisis in Manila last year. I hope that's not true, dude. I really hope that's not true. He says, I'm sorry, I'm also human. I'm insulted if I'm asked to disprove a non-event. And I think any of us in the same situation would feel the way I do when I have to prove something that did not happen. Aquino told members of the Foreign Correspondents Association of the Philippines. If you do a little checking, there is no basis for such an allegation.
Well, that's kind of stupid. That would be like being angry at somebody for watching TV during something like that or listening to a song. Sometimes you need that. In all honesty, when my mother passed away, a few hours later, I was playing a game because it was kind of soothing to me for a second, or I needed to, you know, be able to think about something else so that I could decide what I need to do. So even if he was, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal?
Yeah. But apparently the full allegation is that the president was playing video games when 8 citizens from Hong Kong and a kidnapper were gunned down during a botched rescue operation at Manila's Luneta Park on August 23rd of last year. Aquino says, all you have to do is look at the calendar of activities that happened in Malacanang on that particular day. You can interview people from, like former Director General Jesus Verosa of the Philippine National Police and ask what time I called him up. Then during the 11-hour hostage crisis, you had a whole plethora of people subscribing to their oath of office that I was officiating. I think you'll be able to get every minute of that day accounted for. When asked again during the press briefing if he was into video games, the president retorted, I can't even go home to Tarlac anymore, and that is my main source of relaxation. He also brushed aside accusations that he spent a lot of time playing the PSP. He says, I've never played PSP. I don't know.
It depends. Okay, then depending on when he was doing it, yes. If it was he was supposed to be doing something else, yes. But if he came home for the day, he'd done all he can do. I don't see the harm in him sitting down and engaging in something that may help take his mind off of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't even come up. Who cares?
No, it shouldn't come up.
Again, that's like getting mad at him for peeing. You were peeing and people were getting killed. I had to pee. What's the problem? I don't see it. No.
He's president, but I'm pretty sure that while he was doing whatever he needed to be doing during this situation, pretty sure he was probably not the one on the ground actually trying to handle this.
Yeah.
Just because he's president does not mean he is a trained hostage negotiator.
Nope.
And we put so much blame on these figureheads. And that is more or less what these presidents are. Even our own, I love him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he doesn't do a lot of work and put through a lot of his own ideas and his own agendas. But I'm saying a lot of stuff that goes on that people blame this or that person for, they're figureheads, people.
Some of the stuff, as we all know, we won't get too deep into our political things, but some of the stuff that he's blamed for is not even stuff he has control over. It's just, like Ginger's saying, figurehead. People think they're responsible for you're the leader. This is not a monarchy.
No.
It's not even communist.
They're not superheroes.
They're human people. No more so than, even though I was not a fan of President Bush, even if they had told me, well, and I'm not saying, they had told me he was playing a game right at the time the 9/11 attacks happened. I mean, right at that moment, he was just chilling, playing games. I wouldn't be mad at him. Now, what he did after, did you stop playing the game when they told you we need you, is what makes it bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say, wait a minute, let me finish this level, or did you turn it off and say, I got to go? What was your reaction? It's not that they were playing, because it's another form of entertainment. Again, I'd like being mad at them for watching TV. Should he just go home and close himself in a box? Is that what he should do?
And apparently, a lot of people seem to think so. They think you should live, breathe, eat this, that you should be their super. You should be their superhero, that you should have superpowers, and that you should be able to tell everybody to do exactly what you say. It doesn't work like that.
No. People. Leave our rulers alone. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to throw us an advertisement in here tonight because I have got two stories. They're probably going to have both Ginger and Snow really on edge. Being that it's her birthday, you know she's going to be sassy. It's just going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And an ant has bitten me on the back of the neck. Thank you, ant.
Oh, no. Did you hear that the fuzzy ant?
Stop it. I don't want to talk about it. No. We don't want to We're not talking about anything fuzzy and ant that can crawl on me. No, Ginger.
You killed him? It draws like hundreds more.
See? Stop it. Now I'm just itchy all over. I'm going to have to go take a shower again.
I love you, Corey.
That's up. See, you just put it right up there with the zombies. I told you, people facing walls, the thing that scares me. Yes, that's what you did. Thank you.
Go and cut me.
Uh-huh. Well, if you've been following us on Twitter, you noticed a quote that I put up from Laura McWilliams, who is the VP of the creative offices over at iWin. And she was talking about her advice for developers, get over yourselves and learn to enjoy making games your audience wants to play. And this is her at a GDC online session. So we'll be talking about that later tonight. If you want to get all read up and ready, you can go over to GetSutra.com and read about that. And I also want to talk about VentureBeat has a very interesting article about the three myths about women in tech, which will be interesting to discuss with my girls. I know that you guys are going to get aggravated because this stuff is like, ew. Ooh, you should not have said that. But fun time to be had from all tonight. Now, we return you to our regularly scheduled program. Wait a minute, because I got some more
regularly scheduled program.
I got some juicy news.
Fluffy cakes.
Well, we're off the air. He doesn't hear the fluffy cakes.
Oh. Well, he might listen later.
He might. We'll give him some later.
Okay.
That didn't sound right.
No. And I'm totally going to Twitter that right now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, here we go.
You know, and stuff is popping up all over the place. Okay, so apparently Twitch TV. Yay! Twitch TV, which presents live broadcast competitive and casual gaming, has appointed two new executives from the competitive gaming community. These guys are, who wrote this lovely article over at UI.biz, you see, these guys are two ambassadors for the industry we so passionately support and have traveled far and wide to help realize the dream of pro gaming, said the company's official blog. That's why we now welcome them to help guide us into the glorious esports future. Marcus DeWeet Graham will take the business development role of esports manager for Twitch TV. Prior to joining the company, Graham produced the first live gaming show online, Epileptic Gaming, and also worked with Samsung and G4 TV. We've all had our brushes with G4. James 2GD Harding will head up Twitch TV's new European operations from Sweden, as well as an impressive competitive gaming record. Harding also has commented for Turtle Entertainment and worked as a competitive feature designer at Funcom for Bloodline Champions. remember that game? On his SK Gaming profile, Harding describes himself as a shy psychopathic type who likes to finger paint in the nude while watching Disney films.
Wait, what? Finger paint in the nude while watching Disney? No, run.
And I bet he's cute too. So, you know, the craziest flowers are the prettiest flowers, the ones that do stuff to you. You know, they shoot gas or they bite you are usually the prettiest ones. So I bet you he's really cute. So run, girls, run the other way. Twitch TV, of course, is a spin of popular live streaming video site Justin TV, who tried to scoop us up many, many, many times and separated itself into a new site of June of this year. No, Justin TV, you cannot have the Gamer Girls Radio, but thank you. We're very flattered.
You cannot have us. No.
And neither can you, Twitch TV. Cannot have the Gamer Girls Radio. Cannot. You know why? Because your VP finger paints in the nude. And watches it.
That is so hot, though.
See, you like them crazy, don't you?
I do. I can't help it. I like the crazy ones.
Oh, Jesus.
The crazy ones are always the hot ones.
Oh, Lord.
And always the kinky ones, too. Anyways.
Sure.
But we're on the recorded side. All right, so we don't have much longer to go. So here we go. Humble Frozen Synapse Bundle ends with $1.1 million in sales. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. The latest Humble Bundle sale, the Humble Frozen Synapse Bundle, is now closed and was a great success as usual. The latest bundle game sale managed to sell 231,788 bundles for a total of $1,115,309.01. It is interesting seeing what most people were willing to pay to get so many games in one shot. The average purchase price paid per bundle was $4.81, with Windows users paying an average of $4.13, Mac users paying $6.96, and Linux users paying $9.41 on average. Despite Windows users being thrifty, a majority of the bundles were sold on that platform. We do not know how much money went to the game's creators on the two charities involved, the Electronics Frontier Foundation and Child's Play. The bundle included several indie games, including Frozen Synapse, Space Kim, and Trauma. Anyone who was willing to pay above the average price also received Trine, Shadowground, Survivor, and a pre-order bonus game called Splot and a prototype of Jackclaw. All right, so to find out when the next bundle happens, you can visit the site and sign up to be informed. Another strong success for organizers. Again, all right, so you want that website? It's humblebundle.com. I think this is awesome.
All right. I'm very afraid for you. We're going to go. It's time to go.
It is time to go.
And we will see you guys later on tonight.
Yes. We'll be back.
We have some interesting things to discuss, some things to talk about.
Yes. I'm hoping I'll be back with pizza in hand, or at least in belly.
I'm sorry. I was watching Simon Cowell this morning, and I just love listening to that man talk.
I know that. Oh, the accent. Oh.
I did forget to do this morning, so we're going to go ahead and close out Running the Extra Life ad. Yes, I'm drumming it into your head. Make sure you're there this weekend somewhere. Gaming.
The Extra Life video game marathon is coming on October 15th. Extra Life is just like a run or a walk or a bike event, except you never have to get off the couch. Sign up at extra-life.org. Then get friends and family members to give you money to play. On October 15th at 8 a.m., play any games you want on any system for 24 hours. Find out more and sign up. Extra-life.org. Play games. Heal kids. Extra Life. This message made possible by Children's Miracle Network Hospitals and this podcast.
Jen, tell them bye-bye.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah.